Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit, a six-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. This out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle is based on five essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called Winning with the Hand You're Dealt.
Now there are five winning choices that you can make with the hand you've been dealt. And each of them has to do with each of these cards. With this first card, my chemistry, my biology, my chromosomes, my makeup, my physical being. Number one, first choice, I can choose to get healthier. I don't care what handicap you have in your life, you can be healthier than you are right now. I can choose to get healthier. There are things that I can do that will increase my energy. There are things that I can do that will lower my stress. There are things that I can do that will cause me to have more power, more health in my life. I can eat better, get more sleep, reduce the stress. There are all kinds of things that I can do, and that's totally in my control. And instead of bemoaning the fact that you don't have an Olympic body, the fact is, instead of bemoaning what you don't have, you need to do a better job of making the most of what you've got. And the fact is, you're not. You're not making the most of the body you've been given. Psalm 119, verse 73 says this, "You made my body, Lord. Now give me sense to heed your laws." Give me sense to heed your laws. There are certain things you can learn. If you have chronic pain in your life, you need to learn principles of pain management. There are things we know about pain today that we didn't even know 10 years ago. You might write this down. The pain is in my brain. Write that down. The pain is in my brain. Yeah, it starts in your rear end or wherever, your back, your knee, whatever, but that's sending signals to a certain place called your brain, and pain is processed by the brain. You can change your pain level by changing your brain. That's controllable. That is flat out controllable. And so improving the controllables reduces the impact of the uncontrollables in my life. Does that make sense? The things in your life you can't change about your body. You're never going to be 1 inch taller. You're never going to be as handsome as me. But there are a lot of things you can't change. But you can change the controllables. And you could have more energy than you've got. And you could be in better shape. And you could probably extend your life some simply by eating right, doing right, being right, things like that. So that's in your control. Maybe you need to go get a checkup. Maybe you need to go get some blood work. Maybe you need to go see a dentist. Maybe you need to get a supplement or get on some kind of hormone replacement or whatever. I don't know. But the fact is, there are some steps you can do. Medicine, exercise, controllable things, Daniel Plan. And so you start with the physical, the first card. What do I need to do physically? Shakespeare said, it's impossible to be a philosopher with a toothache. And it's true. And it's hard to feel close to God when you're in pain. So deal with the pain. Number two, second choice has to do with my connections. And the choice I make here is I can choose to deepen relationships. That's an intentional choice to make my relationships better. They can be better than they are right now. I can choose to deepen my relationships. I can learn some communication skills. I can build some new, healthy relationships and replace some bad, unhealthy relationships. I can reach out. I can work on my relationships. I can risk connecting. And I don't say that word risk arbitrarily, because any connection you make is going to be a risk. If you're going to build some new, healthy relationships, you're going to have to risk some connecting. Would you write this down? The fear of rejection prevents connection. The fear of rejection prevents connection. And really the reason why you feel disconnected is your fear of being rejected, your fear of being disapproved, your fear of being hurt, your fear of others. Let's go back to this issue of marriage. A lot of you have said, you know, I really, in my heart of hearts, I'd like to be married, or I'd like to be remarried, but I'm not. And you're telling yourself, no one would ever want to marry me. Are you sure? That's a feeling, not a fact. I could never get remarried at my age. Are you sure? That's a feeling, not a fact. We had a wedding the other day with a guy who was nearly 100 years old. I'm too old again. Are you sure? That's a feeling, not a fact. And as long as you believe it, of course, that's going to be true. But you're basing it on feelings, not fact. Nobody would ever want to marry me the way I look at my age. I need to invite you to some of the odd weddings I do. Because you're not nearly as odd as some of the weddings I have done. You say, but I'm just not good at social interaction. I don't like that dating stuff. It's so icky. I'm just not good at that. And that's the fear of rejection. Would you write this down? Awkward won't kill me. Feeling awkward won't kill me. Of course it's awkward in developing a new relationship. I've never met anybody who didn't feel awkward in developing a new relationship. Welcome to the human race. But you move against that awkwardness and you find out, feeling awkward won't kill me. How do I get rid of fear? How do I get rid of that fear? 1 John 4:18, look here on the screen. There is no fear in love. On your outline, circle that. No fear. There is no fear. There is no fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, why does love take away fear? Because love takes the focus off me and puts it on somebody else. It's not about me, my needs, my help, my heart, my hurt. It's about you. Love has no fear because it's not about me. You see, this is why you get uptight in social settings. You go to a party and you walk in and the first thing you think is, how do I look to everybody else? What is everybody else thinking about me? Do I have spinach in my teeth? Are my legs crossed just appropriately? Is there any toilet paper dangling from back behind me? How do I look? What does everybody think of me? I'll tell you, they're not thinking about you. No one in that party is thinking about you. You know why? Because they're all thinking, how do I look to everybody else? They're not even thinking about you. This is the fallacy of single adult parties. We go in thinking I've got to worry about how everybody's going to look at me. Nobody's looking at you. They're all uptight about themselves. Now, self-centeredness walks into a room saying, how do I look to everybody else? Love walks into a room going, who here needs my help? Who needs a word of encouragement? Who needs a pat on the back? Who could use a little affirmation? Who at this party looked like they're a little on the outside and uncomfortable, and I could put them at ease? Love, humility, is not thinking of yourself less. I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm junk. No, humility is thinking of yourself less. Humility isn't thinking of yourself as not good. Humility is just not thinking about yourself. You're so focused on thinking about other people, you're not thinking about yourself. If I walked out here week after week and I worried about how I looked to you and to the thousands of people that have come to Saddleback, I'd be scared to death. But if I come out here and I'm going, Lord, what do these people need? And I'm thinking about you, your needs, your hurts, your interests. I'm not thinking about me. Perfect love casts out all fear. The antidote to your social phobia is to get your eyes off you, to stop being so self-centered, and to think about somebody else, and to think about their needs, their hurts, their interests, and how you could help them. Perfect love casts out all fear. I'm not an authority on a lot of things, but I am an authority on fear because I've dealt with it my entire life. And fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. It's not real. So how do you get rid of the fear in your life? The fear of making that connection, the fear of making a commitment, the fear of getting to know a stranger, the fear of getting in a small group, all of these things. How do I get rid of that? You can't talk yourself out of it because fear isn't logical. It isn't rational. And so you can rationalize it all you want, but it isn't going to go away. There's only one way to get rid of fear. Do the thing you fear the most. Move against your fear. Fear does not go away from logic. Fear goes away from action. And you walk up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are behind you, and you go, God, I'm in a no place. I'm in a cul-de-sac. I'm hemmed in. And you step in, and the water parts. And you go to the Jordan River, and the water is there, and you got to go across the Jordan, and you step in, and the water backs up. You move, and the fear vanishes. Fear is always worse than the reality. Why? Because fear torments you 24 hours a day, and the reality, that party might even only last an hour. And the fear is always worse than the reality. And so you have to say, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to let love, look at this next verse, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let love be your highest goal. That ought to be the goal for the rest of your life. God, it's not about accomplishments. It's not about achievement. It's not about fame. It's about love. Love is going to be my highest goal. Life is all about learning how to love. You say, but Rick, I loved and I got burned so bad. I gave my heart on a platter and they took it and stomped on it and tore it up into a grinder and made hamburger out of it. And I am still hurting from that. And you think that excuses you to not love again? Show me that in the Bible where it says you get hurt by love that allows you to no longer love anybody. Nonsense. Nonsense. You are not allowed to not love. Love means risking connections. It means stepping out. You say, well, what happens when I really tried to love this person and it was blocked? What do you do with a blocked love? You always redirect it. If you try to love somebody and they reject your love, let me tell you, friends, there are billions of people in this world who are dying for your love. And they're all around you. And when your love is blocked and you can't love in that direction, then you love in this direction. And there are plenty of people, like the elderly, who need your love, like orphans who need your love, like little girls and little boys growing up without daddies who need your love. There's people all around you. There's people on your row who are starving for your love right now. You do not get to say, I'm not going to love because I got hurt once. You ought to pray Ephesians 3:17. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith and that your life will be strong in love. Circle that. Your life will be strong in love and be built on love. So circle that. Strong in love, built on love. You ought to pray that every morning. Get up in the morning and say, God, today, here's what. Jesus Christ, I want you to fill my heart by faith. And Jesus Christ, today, I want to be strong in love and I want to be built on love. By the way, where do you learn connection techniques? The church was designed to be the laboratory for love. Now, you can't love a crowd. There's the only way you can learn love in this church, get in a small group. It's why we insist everybody be in a small group. The very reason you're afraid to get in a small group is the very reason you need it. It would feel so awkward. Yeah, move against your fear. And you know what? You'll build some relationships, some new connections that will strengthen you and help you become a great lover. I can choose to deepen my relationships. Number three, the third are the circumstances of life, the trauma, the trouble, the pain, the pressure, the problems, the stress, the suffering in my life. What do I do this? Number three, I can choose to trust God no matter what happens. I can choose to trust God regardless of my circumstance. And that gives you an identity nobody else is going to have. Romans 8, 27 to 29, I love this in the Message. God knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's why we should trust him, not our own judgment. God knows us far better than we trust ourselves, so he knows better for me than I do. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God, circle every detail, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. It's not all good, but it can be worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. I didn't. But he decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him, that's you and me, along the same lines as the life of his son. God's goal is to make me, to make you like Jesus, his son. The Son, Jesus, stands first in the line of humanity he restored. And we see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. God wants to use every circumstance in my life to make me like Jesus. So Psalm 34:1, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Now, friends, when you get to that point, that's a choice. When you could say, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. It's the comment that says, I don't know, come on, hit me. Hit me with your best shot. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. That is a confidence that is not built on money or sex or status or passion, possession, position, or all of it. It's built on my relationship to God, and that can't be taken from me. And I will praise the Lord no matter what. That is a confidence you can't get anywhere else in the world. And when you have that kind of confidence, you are an amazing woman. And you are an amazing man. Because most people never get that kind of confidence. But it's an identity you're not going to get anywhere else.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, the truth is that most of us don't pay much attention to our health until something goes wrong. We put on a couple of pounds every year and think, no big deal, right? But a few pounds over 5 or 10 years can really add up. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. This 6-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman is an out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle based on 5 essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. The Daniel Plan Study Kit gives individuals the encouragement and accountability needed to succeed. If you've been watching the scale go up lately, or your health is in trouble because of your weight, it's not too late to join. Join the more than 15,000 people who've lost weight, improved their health, and improved their relationships by ordering the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. Let us send you a copy of the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has five purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's called worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's called fellowship. He wants you to grow in character, to be more like Christ. That's called discipleship. And He wants you to learn to serve using your gifts and talents. Serve God by serving others. That's called your ministry. Finally, He wants you to share the good news and your life message with other people around the world. That's called your mission. I'd like to close today to talk to you for just a second about your personal mission. Did you know that the Bible says every time somebody accepts the Lord, they throw a party in heaven? Did you know that? It's right there in Luke 15, verse 7, where the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 who don't need to turn to Christ, who are already there. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a party in heaven for you. And by the way, the day that you help somebody else come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in heaven, but there's also going to be a party in your heart. I want to encourage you today to look outward, to look around you and see the people who need to hear about the love of God, about the message of Christ, about the purpose of life, about the daily hope that we have in our hearts. The Bible says, always be ready to share the hope that is within you. Could I pray for you? And as we bow in prayer, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I want the joy that you've given me to be shared with other people. And a lot of times I'm afraid or hesitant to talk about you to others. Would you give me so much love for other people that the love overcomes my fears and gives me the right words to say as I share the hope that's in me? Allow me to help others find you, to find real hope, to find joy through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, so much for trusting me to help bring others to you. I want to accept my mission, and I want to use it for your glory and in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Put somebody in my life today that I can tell about you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.